function. You know, so many people say, oh, I only need about an hour or two of sleep. That's not humanly possible, okay? Your body is suffering somewhere. So maybe it's you can't sleep because you have too much going on. Start unpacking that so that you can get a few more hours of good sleep. Number four, healthy nutrition. Focus on a balanced diet with whole foods, reducing caffeine and sugar. Supports mental clarity and stable energy levels. Listen, we can all do a healthier diet. I say all, but I am learning so much about food and what's in it. And I just heard a podcast the other day that said, if you read the ingredients and you wouldn't put that on your counter and use it every day, don't eat it. So this is giving me a whole new idea of what healthy nutrition really looks like. Number five, therapeutic practices. Engage in regular therapy, counseling, or just self-reflection exercises. It may be important to share what's in your brain. So many of us kind of just keep it all upstairs and we don't express it. We don't talk about it. We don't bounce it off of other people. And left to our own cognition, sometimes those thoughts can get escalated, elevated, grandiose. So whether that's in a support group style setting or just with one other person, it's important. It helps you address root causes of stress and emotional dysregulation. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, start small. Identify one stressor in your life and address it with a calming technique like deep breathing or reframing your thoughts. Then, commit to taking one small step toward asking for support or setting a boundary, because your peace is worth protecting. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you, how I wound up here.
KBOO Portland.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio productions by independent community media. We bring local stories to a global audience, produced at a different location each week.
And I am Pat Schleibaum with KHOI in Ames, Iowa.
Today on Sprouts, we hear about an appeal to President Biden to offer clemency to incarcerated Leonard Peltier.
Here's Paulette Dotaki-Robidoux with the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee.
And what nation are you, Paulette?
White.
You're white. Okay. You also are a part of the defense team for Leonard Peltier, I understand.
I am. I have been worked on Leonard's case for about 45 years. Leonard and I ended up being cousins through marriage. I was married to Bob Robidoux, who was Leonard's co-defendant, and they are first cousins. So in the Indian world, I am Leonard's cousin by marriage. And I lived with the family, and I knew his parents and brothers and sisters while they were all alive.
I see. And Mr. Peltier has been in prison since 1976?
That's right. Leonard has been in prison since 1976 because of a incident at Ogallala on the Pine Ridge Reservation, in which two FBI men came onto the land, opened fire, and Leonard and people in that area responded, and two FBI men were killed. And Joe Stuntz, one Native man, was killed. This was in Ogallala, South Dakota, in 1975.
And what are the circumstances now that a pardon would seem to be appropriate?
Okay, first, he's not eligible for a pardon. So Leonard is only eligible for clemency or commutation of sentence. So we have a clemency brief before the pardons department, and which time Biden could sign it, and Leonard would be given clemency and release at that time. So that's what we're asking for. You only get a pardon after you've been released for 5 years. And so Leonard is still incarcerated, so we are asking for clemency for him.
I understand there's a number of individuals seeking the clemency, Nobel laureates, even the FBI agents, and his prosecuting attorney.
A former FBI agent, Colleen Rowley, said, quote, "The FBI's opposition to the release of Leonard Peltier is driven by vindictiveness and misplaced loyalties." So the FBI would not be helping us get this clemency. Now, the prosecutor, the former head of the prosecution department for the district that Leonard was tried in, and his name was James Reynolds, and he issued a public apology to Leonard in 2021 and said, quote, "We could not prove that Leonard Peltier committed any offense on the Pine Ridge Reservation," end quote. So his statement, I'm sure, has been included in the clemency petition that was delivered by the lawyers to the pardon office. But personally, the FBI would not help at all. Leonard has been nominated for 6 Nobel Peace Prizes, and some of them have submitted letters for Leonard in support of his petition for clemency.
The general public responding at all? What are people doing for Leonard's release?
Well, they could call the White House. There is a citizen comment line at the White House, and ask President Biden to please, before he finishes office, would he sign Leonard's clemency? Would he release Leonard on clemency? And that can go to the White House. There's also an email that goes to the White House that could be done. People could go and check on www.freeleonardpeltiernow.org, which is our website, and that has information about writing letters to Biden. But at this time, given the shortness of Biden's rest of his time, it would probably be easier for people to call or to send an email to the White House. They could also get in touch with one of their senators and ask them to talk to President Biden, asking them to have Leonard released on his clemency. Leonard has done almost 50 years. He is 80 years old. There is nothing in his history of violence. He wants to go home to Turtle Mountain, North Dakota, which is the reservation that he is from, and to live with his family and his grandkids and great-grandchildren for whatever little time he has left. Leonard has diabetes. He has had a stroke in his eye and is partially blind. He has high blood pressure, and because of his eyesight, he has to use a walker to get around. And in a prison that is not always safe, he has fallen and had to been taken to the hospital for his falls. So Leonard's health is in dire straits. And that is one of the reasons that we are asking for this clemency. He has done his time over and above what was required of him when he was convicted.
There is a humanitarian component to this, it would seem, beyond just what our laws dictate.
Yes, Amnesty International also has a petition out to Biden saying that his human rights, I mean, the state affairs at the prison, they have these indeterminate length lockdowns. Leonard just is now barely getting out of a lockdown that lasted 3 months, in which he was could maybe have a call once a week, if at that. He was not able to call his lawyer for legal calls. He could not speak with his doctor for any medical advice. And the food conditions during these lockdowns are horrific. They are given sandwiches of fruit, and that is it. There is no hot meals. And this, of course, has added to his diabetes because he's not able to control it through what he eats, nor is he able then to get out and walk so that he gets any exercise. So these lockdowns are horrific and definitely in violation of someone's human rights. The fact that there is not allowed to be able to go out to the sweat lodge and have any prayer ceremonies is another humanitarian problem. They did have a sweat lodge. It was destroyed during COVID. They've been trying to put a new one up, but because of the lockdown, it's been very difficult. Leonard can go to the outside with his walker if somebody is with him, because it goes through grass, and that's not always safe with the walker, and he would be able to sit by the sweat lodge and be part of the ceremony and use his pipe. But because of these lockdowns, he's not even been allowed to do that, nor to have his pipe in his cell. So there is really a lot of religious freedom that has been denied Leonard and other prisoners as well. Catholic prisoners are not allowed out to go to Sunday Mass, Muslim prisoners to go for Friday, and Protestant prisoners to go for a Sunday service. So the religious freedom of all these men that are incarcerated has been severely limited by these lockdowns.
And I understand the Religious Freedom Act was a part of the Jimmy Carter administration in 1977?
Right. He was the one that signed that Native people could again participate in their own ceremonies in public. Before that, if they wanted to have a Sundance, they had to go outside and away from the reservation or away from where the offices were and have a private Sundance. Now Sundances are open. Families have Sundances, and it's open not to the public but to the other Native people that want to participate in it. UWIFI ceremonies are now allowed. All of their religious freedom was returned to them, which had been taken away when they were forced to be on a reservation because, quote unquote, they were savages and this religion was not allowed. If they wanted to become a Catholic, that was fine. Then they were considered good people, but if they practiced their religion, they were considered savages by the United States, and their religious freedom was denied. And Carter signed a bill that allowed them to now have their own religion on the reservation.
And it sounds like so those provisions have been rolled back during the lockdowns where any type of religious activity would be eliminated.
You know, Leonard was a boarding school survivor. Leonard and his sister and cousin were all sent to boarding schools. They were taken from their home on Turtle Mountain and put in a boarding school. And when he got out of this boarding school and finally got back on the reservation, he was taken to meetings with his grandfather. You know, the United States tried to end reservations and treaties in the 50s. And so Leonard was exposed to the struggle of Native people to keep their reservations and to be able to live on them. And so that's how Leonard became political, was the whole question of saving the reservations. The grandmother said to these people at this meeting, "Are there nobody that is willing to stand up and help us keep our reservation?" And of course, Leonard and many people signed up to do that. And so that's how Leonard learned about Native struggles, was through the work to keep Turtle Mountain intact as Anishinaabe, which is their name for themselves, for the people, reservation, which is in Turtle Mountain, North Dakota, about 5 to 10 miles from the Canadian border. So Leonard all his life has been working around issues that have involved Native people, whether it's treaty rights or water rights, environmental issues. Leonard has continuously worked. And even while he's been in prison, he has written letters of support. And of course, people have visited him and he knows what's going on. And he has contributed his ideas around survival. What do we need to do? What do Indian people need to know and do to go back and live traditionally and things like that? So Leonard has been very much part of the struggle of Indian people to be seen and respected as who they are, not as how they're portrayed in various movies or other derogatory things like the mascots and stuff like that. So it's been very important for Leonard to do these things, to maintain his relationship with his people, which gives him hope that someday he'll be able to go back there and live there on that reservation with his sisters that are still alive.
You're listening to Sprouts Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of global interest. Let's learn more from Paulette Doté-Robidoux, lead counsel for the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee.
It would seem to mean the world to the Native community to have their brother Leonard Peltier return home.
Yes. You know, Leonard is 80, and his youngest sister is 68, and he has two that are in their 70s, so nobody in his family is young anymore. So they have appealed to Biden to let their brother come home so that they would be able to spend some time to make up for these 50 years that he's been incarcerated. And he has children that live in the Dakotas that then could go see him. Because to visit him now from the Dakotas, it's like 2,500 miles. So it's 2 or 3 days. And people in their 70s, it's very difficult for them to get to see Leonard. And during the lockdowns, there's no visits. Leonard's grandson, Cyrus, and his son had reservations to see Leonard. They flew from Fargo, North Dakota to Florida, and he checked with the prison and said, "Is everything still okay?" On Friday night, they said yes. Saturday morning, when he got to the prison, there was a sign that said, "No further visits at this time." And when he went in, they said, "Well, something happened during the night, and so they're locked down. Don't plan on visiting him for the rest of the year." And so Cyrus and his son, you know, went down there and you know, they couldn't even let him say hello to his grandfather. It's just incredible how they do these things to families of people that try to visit.
Where is he imprisoned, in Florida?
Yes, at Coleman 1, USP, United States Penitentiary, Coleman 1, which is part of a Supermax complex. There's Coleman 1 and 2, then there's two FCIs, and then there's a camp. So all these prisons are in the same area, but he is in Coleman 1.
And I understand there's a prayer vigil that's planned for this coming weekend?
Yes, I believe so. I don't have the details on that handy, but if people go to freeleonardpeltiernow.org, all that information is on the website.
Is there anything else, Paulette, that we've overlooked?
I think if people would call the president line, I think if people would pray, but I really think it's going to take action. So we would really appreciate it if people would call the White House, send an email, and also check with their senators. Their senators could call Biden and say, hello, I'm the senator from Georgia, or I'm the senator from Iowa, and my constituents would like me to ask you to free Leonard Peltier. And that would go a long way to putting pressure on President Biden. He's going to be seeing the Pope, you know, and the Pope has written a letter when he went up for parole years ago. It was a different Pope, of course, to ask for Leonard to be released. So hopefully this Pope will talk to Biden and say, look, if you really want to have something to clean up your reputation, you should give clemency to Leonard Peltier.
Clemency to Leonard Peltier. We'll have to leave it at that for now. I hope there's a follow-up.
Thank you.
I'm hoping there can be a time that we can talk again when Leonard Peltier returns to his home at Turtle Mountain, North Dakota. Thank you, Paulette Doté Rabidoux.
Let's learn more about a prayer vigil scheduled for today through Sunday, praying for the release of Leonard Peltier from prison. Here's
Sandy McLean Clockener.
Yes, sir, it is.
And where do you live?
I live in St. Louis, Missouri. I say that I live in Getheo de Oganag, the old trading town of Cahokia.
Oh, Cahokia. Now, I'm familiar with that area. Maybe some of our listeners are not. What's special about Cahokia?
The special thing about Cahokia is that it is, we didn't have state lines. Iowa wasn't a place with its defined regions, and neither was Missouri and Illinois. That whole region was inhabited by people, and Cahokia was the center. And we call it the old trading town. It was the hub of trade in pre-settler times between the north and the south and between the east and the west. So I have relatives that were at the Great Lakes that used conch shells. And they got those conch shells and whelk shells from the Caribbean. It was traded that way through the middle region, through Cahokia. And that's where the mounds are now.
And how, we'll talk about mounds, but how many years ago was the time frame?
This happened after the Great Freeze. So you're talking 1,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the mounds. That's what I was so astounded by. Describe, if you will, the mounds there at Cahokia.
So there are some massive mounds. It is an international historical site that held mounds that were built by people. And it's funny because when I go there, they're like, oh God, she's here again. And the view of them has changed because these mounds were not built like the pyramids. They weren't built with slave labor. they were built community labor and religious labor, and people were joyously giving their time to build mounds, and there was a whole community of thousands of people who lived along the Mississippi River. You know, that's something that we all have in common, is we built along the rivers.
Mm-hmm. And they're on the scale of pyramids.
On the scale of pyramids, these are rounded mounds and not so structurally, you know, angular.
Oh, they're earthen mounds.
They're earthen mounds, and so funny because here in St. Louis, people don't recognize the mounds so much. Mm-hmm. And when I go out of the region, you know, there's the effigy mounds, there's all these mounds, but people ignore it here. St. Louis was called Mound City because there were so many mounds in this area, but they were taken down to build St. Louis. And would you believe that it's more tall than it is wide? Going up the mounds is a cardiac exercise.
Oh, sure.
So the top of our mound, though, is flat. It was called like the Grand Plaza. And we have, there's probably 60 mounds that are there. The biggest mound is Monk's Mound, and it's got four terraces on it. And as you climb up, you kind of give a break at each of the terraces. But historically, it was used by French priests. They built a chapel on one of its corners. So that's why the largest one is called Monk's Mound.
Mm-hmm. And is there an upcoming prayer vigil that will be conducted there at Monk's Mound?
There sure is. There's been a call to give prayer and energy for the release of Leonard Peltier. He is an 80-year-old Lakota Anishinaabe man who has been in prison. It's funny. President Biden is being asked to pardon him. And Leonard Peltier went into jail at the same time that Joe Biden started his political career. Mm-hmm. They've both been there a long time. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that we can bring awareness and prayer during the time that President Biden is going to meet with Pope John Paul. We're hoping that Biden's heart is softened and he gives this man time to go home and be with his family before he dies.
He's been incarcerated, I believe, 49 years.
Yes, and It's so bizarre because for most of my life, this man has been in jail, and he was extradited from Canada illegally, and once the government put him into the system, somebody had to pay. Leonard, this is his Sundance. This is his giving to our community for justice.
And the crime was two FBI agents were slain, and someone, apparently they pointed the finger at Leonard Peltier, would be held accountable. And consequently, he's been in jail for 49 years.
49 years, and the FBI has said that someone has to pay. So there's been irregularities in the trial and in the witnesses, but even the prosecutor from those days is asking for Peltier to be released.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else?
Well, I am part of Native Women's Care Circle, and on the 11th of January, they're asking for prayer for Leonard Peltier from the 9th through the 12th. And we're going to be joining folks on January 11th and going to the top of the mound and having prayer and speakers about that. And whether people come physically or not, I would implore you, you know, I'm part of a prayer group, and we're asking people to pray, and pray is an active verb. So as you pray, give a call to President Biden, send an email, use your social media, and bring attention to this man's plight for justice. That's what I'd like to end with.
Mm-hmm. Sandy, you've done a really beautiful job here of weaving in a lot of historic information, but in a timely manner, but yet very important message. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Obviously, the dates that were given were from last week, yet their request for active prayer remains the same. That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to an appeal to President Biden to offer clemency to Leonard Peltier. Special thanks to our guests, Paulette Doté-Robidoux and Sandy McLean-Klockener. Production assistance came from Stephanie Schumer from Pacifica. The Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the globe. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase globally on Sprouts, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Pat Schleibon with KHOY Community Radio in Ames, Iowa. Thank you for listening.